there were seasons in ministry preparing sermons, leading staff, and I might not have really prayed or maybe even had really a deep time alone with the Lord. That's not okay. The depth that you've established with the Lord correlates with effectiveness.
Wow, that's sobering, isn't it? We're called to serve the Lord. We want to give our all for Him. We want others to know Him. So we work really hard at it. I mean, really hard. We work so hard for Him that we don't take time to be fueled by Him. It's a story repeated over and over again in the ministry, and we're losing leaders because of it. Jason Young has been there, and he learned some hard lessons along the way. This former pastor, who now helps to coach leaders and organizations, is the co-author of Don't Burn Out, Burn Bright: How to Thrive in Ministry for the Long Haul. You might want to grab a notebook and a pen for this one. I have a feeling there are some good lessons in here for us, too.
Jason, welcome to the Morning Conversation.
Thank you. So good to be here.
Yeah, very excited to talk to you about the latest book that you co-wrote. First, I want to know about like a doctorate in hospitality. Am I understanding that right?
Right. So it's easy to make things up. For real. How do you create experiences that really invites people to come back? So it was a fun journey. Learned a lot, as you would hope one would.
Right.
So, but yep, it's true.
I want to come to your house and hang out, man. I want to be hospitalized.
Man, keep your expectations low. I try.
Yeah, that sounds like awesome, an awesome degree and a meaningful one. And I mean, obviously, biblically, they talk about being hospitable, right? That's a biblical value. So that's cool.
Well, and when you think about it, I mean, we do it in our homes and in our churches, but one of the aspects we often don't think about is how can an individual leader create hospitable moments that invite that person to want to come back and be with you?
Wow.
So not just a church and not just a company or an experience, but to actually want to be with you.
Yeah, that sounds like a book. It sounds like a good investment. You haven't written that book yet, I'm assuming.
No, somebody should write that.
That's awesome. Well, Jason, we are here this morning to talk about specifically to dive into a new book that you wrote called Don't Burn Out, Burn Bright: How to Thrive in Ministry for the Long Haul. And, you know, as I even heard that title right off the bat, you know, when I was a young believer, I remember hearing a statement that originally resonated with me, and then I reversed it later. But, you know, it was, I'd rather burn out than rust out, you know, and I heard that first. I was like, yeah, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Thankfully, not too many years later, I heard another guy. He said, you know, some people say I'd rather burn out than rust out. But you know what? Whether you burn out or you rust out, either way, you're out and God doesn't work you out. And I was like, I like that better. Like this.
Yes.
That's good. So I was excited about this book that you wrote. And again, I work with leaders, actually. We have a radio station, obviously, that we're talking on today. But we also have a ministry called Momentum, and we invest in leaders and their leadership teams. So I'm very in touch with just the heartbeat of leaders and the strain of leadership and ministry. Again, I'm excited about this resource that you're offering to leaders and those in ministry in general. But then also just excited about the conversation today. So talk a little bit about kind of what was the genesis. I mean, you've written several books, but why this one? Why now?
I think this exhaustion, burnout, stress, kind of these three words, they've always been around. I mean, this is nothing new, right? I'm not that smart. So they're not new, but I think the timing of it in light of especially, you know, the pandemic and seeing it happen more and more, because it seems like in the pandemic, one of two things happened. There was a significant level or significant increase in burnout, or there was that through the pandemic, you really discovered a breakthrough. And so I find these two of breakthrough, burnout, right? And they just kept showing up more on the burnout side. So just started doing some work, research, conversations around it, you know, having experienced some just challenging things that just I felt like I had nothing left to give, and putting some language around it, then looking at, you know, current research. I think when you put all of that together, it was from a timely perspective. Let's write this right now. Let's get it out, because I think people have a felt sense for it. And the last thing I'll say is this: there are a lot of books on how to recover from it.
Hmm.
I don't know that there are a lot of books on how to prevent it. And actually, this book is not just about how to prevent it, but there's actually more of a focus of, is there a way that we can help you burn brightly?
Hmm.
And as a part of that is preventing burnout.
Yeah, love that. So not only surviving, but thriving, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is what we're designed to do. I said this on another, on a interview, I don't know when, going through undergrad, grad, doctoral program, nobody ever said anything to me about you were designed to thrive.
Mm.
It was, are you going to give it your all? Or what are you going to sacrifice? You know, you can sleep when you're dead. You know, it kind of, I mean, that was one of the phrases, a bit dramatic nonetheless, but you had all of these phrases and it's like, you're going to be all in and it's going to take everything you've got. And I'm like, in the beginning, I thought, oh, it's just part of the deal.
Right.
And then as I've gotten older, I'm like, that's dumb. Like who actually made that up? And the people that probably made that up either interpreted something incorrectly or they lived it out in an unhealthy fashion. Mm-hmm. And so our proposal in this book is it doesn't have to be that way. That doesn't devalue the work that somebody does in a church is difficult, stressful, exhausting, overwhelming, potentially at times, discouraging at times. We're not saying that those things don't exist. I've experienced all of those things more than once. What we're saying is, yes, those will exist, but having a plan in place to protect yourself can actually help you bounce back from those so you don't find yourself mm-hmm. wandering into this world of burnout. And some of the things we talk about are related to maybe rhythms and routines, but some of them actually might have to do with the peace or lack of it in your life, maybe hurts that are still finding their way to your doorstep and you still answer the door and it still takes everything you've got.
Yeah. So in a number of years ago, I remember listening to just a speaker and he was talking about just the hard and he gave a delineation between two different types of hard that I've found very helpful. I've shared quite a bit. And he talked about how some things are doable hard. Like, and you were just saying a few moments ago, it isn't like, you know, we're talking about this is going to be easy because it's not going to be easy, right?
Right.
So life isn't easy. You know, working hard isn't easy. Putting yourself at risk with people isn't easy. So it's not going to be easy. But is it doable hard or is it destructive hard? And I thought, man, that's a great way to kind of think about this, right? So
yeah.
I would love to hear your thoughts on when would a leader begin to know that this is moving from doable hard to destructive hard? How can they tell that burnout might be at their doorstep if they're not careful?
I think we think, and I put myself in this category, we often think that we are good enough to identify those moments in ourselves. What I'm convinced of is we're not. And we have to do a better job of creating a space of invitation, of inviting people into our world that it's safe, that they can speak truth, they can ask us hard questions, and we can ask them, you know, because if we don't create a space of invitation, then the result is we create this space of isolation, and then we wonder, why are we alone? And for many of us, isolation is really self-imposed because we haven't done the hard work that is doable of building the right people into our lives, and allowing them to ask us those hard questions. So we don't ever drift this. I mean, we don't ever end up in the world of burnout and all of that like overnight. It's a drift.
Mm-hmm.
And those that do it, that don't go into that space, usually have great voices that can give feedback, that can ask hard questions. And that particular leader is doing the hard work themselves of, you know, what are the things that actually prevent me from being an effective leader? Because it could be, not always, but could be the very thing that leads me down to burnout.
God is always at work among us.
The purpose of the Navigators, a college campus ministry, is to know Christ, make him known, and help others do the same. Brian leads the Navigators on the University of Nebraska-Lincoln campus, and a fellow staff member leads their ministry focus on international students.
He had a connection with a Chinese student and started talking about Jesus, identified with Christ, and started a friendship with him, and eventually shared this illustration that sums up the main theme of the Bible.
This student had felt his emptiness, his spiritual need, and as he connected with this staff member, that spiritual concern led to conviction and taking a life-changing step.
This Chinese student decided he wanted to pray to receive Christ, which is cool for anyone, but especially for Chinese students. That's almost unheard of, to have that quick of a connection and response.
But it's the only response when God is moving in your heart. This student made a spiritual U-turn as he repented and committed his life to following Jesus in an expression of saving faith.
So now our staff guy is starting to establish this student in his walk with Jesus and starting to disciple him and getting him connected to our community.
God is on the move, and we are celebrating how he is moving in the lives of college students, drawing them to himself through college ministries like the Navigators.
MyBridge Radio, celebrating God at work among us. Share your story and join the conversation in the Connect Now section at mybridgeradio.net.
So, Jason, we were talking a few moments about kind of how do we know that we're heading into burnout, and I'd love to hear, you know, even what are some of the causes? Because again, we were talking earlier this morning, which I loved. This whole part of the thesis of this book is, hey, let's not just help you recover from burnout. Let's help you keep from burning out. Let's not just keep you from burning out. Let's get you thriving, right? So,
yeah.
If we're going to thrive, one of the ways that we need to kind of navigate is to be aware of the things that can cause that exhaustion as leaders. So yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts. What are some of those things that we just need to be aware of that are in our realities that we need to manage?
Yeah, let me first say this at don'tburnoutburnbright.com. There's actually a free leadership health assessment. And it's 35 questions. Doesn't take you very long, but what it does at the very end, the result, is it literally gives you one thing that might very well be the thing that is contributing most to pulling you into the space of burnout. So don'tburnoutburnbright.com, free assessment, helpful there. Some of the things that could show up is, for some people, they struggle with not having they have this idea of a perfect team. When the team isn't perfect or do exactly what you think, or you become this driver, this almost leader of tyranny, and you say you want excellence, but really you want perfection, and then you want people to be perfect anyways. And what happens is you can start to show up in a way that's unhealthy. You can start demonstrating control in an unhealthy way. So like it could show up like that. You may begin to find yourself entangled in things. It could be a vice, it could be an addiction. It could be, I see this one a lot, people are addicted to motion. Like if I'm not moving and doing, and I'm not producing, then I'm not leading. I'm not doing good enough. And I think that we can get easily entangled. If I were to, give maybe one more that I often see, maybe more than any, is probably past hurts and maybe even as deep as traumas. And I think what happens is we think we have gotten over those. The problem is we never actually name them. And if you can't name it, you can't tame it. And if you can't tame it, then it's going to run wild in your life at some point for the rest of your life.
Wow.
And I think I see this showing up, sucking life and energy out, and then you get some momentum, sucking life and energy out. And it's just this cyclical experience. And so I think these things that can show up are things that, when worked on, can actually begin to help you thrive versus taking life from you.
Wow. I've been in ministries contexts. I've served in ministry since vocational ministry. We're all called to ministry. So let's be clear here. I've been full-time into vocational ministry since I graduated from college. I get around lots of spiritual leaders, people leading in spiritual places and spaces. It's not unusual for me to have interactions that really show that in the midst of giving out, people in ministry could not make sure that they're filling up, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things you talk about as another one of the potential things that leads to burnout potentially is spiritual shallowness. I thought that was a great way of kind of articulating that. And so, yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this whole space of, and the importance of not going into ministry and trying to minister out of your deficit, really.
Man, Stan, let me shoot straight with you. There were seasons in ministry on a church staff, preparing sermons, leading meetings, leading staff, et cetera, et cetera. And I might not have prayed really, forget food, but really prayed, or maybe even had really a deep time alone with the Lord on too many occasions. that's not okay. Because sometimes I convince myself doing the work of the Lord is enough. Mm-hmm. And what I realized in moments when things weren't going like I thought they should, or I found myself really tired, because there's a difference in exhaustion and burnout, and we could explore that if you want. I was reminded that the depth that you've established with the Lord and the depth you're contributing to as it continues to go deeper correlates with potentially with effectiveness. Mm. And so the Lord began to really speak to me about, you know, spiritual shallowness, because I was seeing shallow results. And I blamed it on leadership, my own leadership. I wasn't looking at it from a spiritual perspective. So funny enough, in this chapter, chapter 11, that chapter goes spiritually deeper. I asked the publisher, can we just write the following words in this chapter? Forget the chapter, but all the person would read is this: you know what to do. And the publisher thought, well, I mean, that's nice and all, but let's add a little extra. But if you'll read this chapter, it's really one of the shortest, because we just didn't feel like we didn't have anything really new to say. We know what to do. We just need to do it. So it's not about learning something new. It's about implementing the discipline to do what we already know to do.
That's so good. Yeah. It's interesting because I've had people, I value physical health. I work out that at 59 years old. And, you know, I'll have people go, how do you do that? How do you? I'm like, I have that response. Like, you know how to do it. Like, we all know how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the same thing that you're saying there. Isn't that we don't have the knowledge. It's that we don't have the discipline, the self-control. And I was thinking, actually, I was reading this morning that section in the Bible, because I don't remember the reference. I think it's in Corinthians. But anyway, Paul says, I buffet my body and make it my slave, right? So, I mean, that's part of the key to really a vibrant Christian life and ministry life is we got to get ourselves in control and to be able to do the things that execute the things that we know we need to do. Be doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves, right?
Yeah. Well, let me add one more thing. And this may ruffle some feathers. That makes you probably nervous.
Oh, no. Come on.
Like
I love it.
I am more and more convinced, and I have been this person, but I am more and more convinced. We write about this a little bit. I see a lot of people, these are common questions. Well, what podcasts are you listening to? Or what books are you reading? What pastors are you listening to their sermon? You know, these types of questions that nothing wrong in and of themselves, but what I think could be happening is we are more interested in consuming content that we hope makes us a better leader versus listening to the voice of the Lord to make us a better follower. And I think in my own life, sometimes that has gotten off kilter. And I have felt the effects of it.
I need to say that again, because that's one of those, if I was reading your book, reading that book and that statement, I would go back and read that again. So say that again.
Yeah, we consume content to be a better leader when we should be listening to the voice of God more to become a better follower.
I love it. It's so good.
And that is not cliche. Some of you are like, oh, that's a Jesus juke. It's not. I have done it. And when I, and nothing wrong with books. I mean, I'm an author. I read all the time too. Like I listen to podcasts sometimes. But I think sometimes it's as if it's validating something about our leadership if we're doing it. And I think sometimes, what if I took a break from podcasts? What if I took a break from reading other books and I just dialed in? Again, some people say, well, the Lord speaks to me through those books. Great. Fantastic. But I also think sometimes we are consumers of information. And I actually think where it shows up potentially on the negative side is it actually creates more paralysis in our decision because we think the next podcast or book might help us make a better decision versus I already know enough. And if I'm depending on the podcast or the book to make the decision and not really the voice of the Lord, I don't know. Maybe a little problem.
That was so good. You mentioned a little bit earlier, there's a difference between exhaustion and burnout. And so I do want to hear that. So yeah, it's an interesting thing to kind of think about and discern. And I can see where someone even hearing about a burnout could really be more exhaustion and kind of be unnecessarily concerned, or could maybe some might avoid exhaustion, which I think exhaustion can be good as far as pouring yourself out in a right way. And in the name of trying to avoid burnout. Would love to hear the difference between the two.
Yeah, I think from just a kind of simplified perspective, think of exhaustion like you feel a bit overwhelmed. It's a particular season. But if you could change your calendar a little bit, if you could change your diet a little bit, maybe if you could change your workout schedule a little bit. In other words, if you could change a few dials or levers, then you can bounce back. You can get that energy back, your momentum's back. But you got to change a few things. Burnout is more of a psychological state that does show up, you know, in the physiology aspect of things. But it's an overwhelming feeling for duration that you can't get out of, and you begin to question your worth. You begin to question the things that you do. And so it kind of this sucks you into this deep vortex that it's not about calendar switching. It's not about like adjusting this and that. It's a deeper thing. It's a bigger thing. It requires more effort to come back. That's actually the impetus. It's easier to prevent it than it is to recover from it. Mm. So with that said, and talking about those two words, language informs us how to behave. So if you're listening right now and maybe you've used the word burned out, maybe you're showing up and acting that way and you don't even know it, versus maybe exhaustion is, look at your schedule. Put 10 minutes between meetings. Don't work so late. Take your day off. Use your vacation. Don't answer every call. Like, if you can adjust these things, spend more time with your family, spend time with a friend, do a hobby. You know, if you can adjust these things and you begin to find yourself returning energy and joy and peace, you're probably exhausted, right? Go to bed. Okay. If you're burned out, that's a place that just going to bed, changing your calendar, you're not going to bounce back. You need some deeper help, and that's okay. Nothing wrong with you. It's okay. But you got to do the harder work. And so the road to recovery, if you will, is a little bit longer. And exhaustion is a part of that, but it's also something a lot deeper that's going to require more work.
Yeah, that's so good.
Sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Rejoice before him, his name is the Lord.
Psalm 68, verse 4.
I know you by a thousand names.
Join us Sundays on MyBridge Radio for uplifting worship music all day long.
You know, Jason, over the years, I've heard various people talk about the types of relationships that we need to have. You mentioned earlier that we need to kind of be aware of that and the impact that would have.
Yeah.
Some people would say, you know, everyone should have a Timothy, someone that they're investing in. Someone should always have a Paul, someone who's investing in them. You should always have a Barnabas, someone who's encouraging you. You should always have a Nathan, someone who's speaking prophetically into your life, you know. So I've heard like 4 or 5. You have like 11 different types of people or type of relationships. Give us, kind of, where did those 11 come from, and share kind of a few of them.
Yeah. Where did they come from? I think of my own experience. I am really an accumulation or a product of the accumulation of relationships. And I think these styles, again, these types of people have shown up in my life, or I've sought them. And I, of course, I didn't know what I was doing in the meantime. In fact, I call it my table of influence. I'm inviting people to this table to influence my life, because I know at some point in the future aspect of my life, I want to be invited to the table of other people to influence them. So I think I just over life, just kind of put these types of people together. There's 11 of them. And let me just say this, you're not going to need all 11. You're not going to need all 11 at the same time, for sure. And I think what's important is, how do you begin to engage these types of people? Like, what are you specifically asking? So one of them is a clarifier. So again, these are styles or types of people. And a clarifier is somebody that's going to ask me helpful and difficult questions, because they're going to try to crystallize. I might have like 82 ideas, or I might feel like I'm in a brain, a fog. And the questions that they ask me, they just have the ability to help seek clarity. So as I think about that, type of person, I might need them because I'm in that season of life. I'll give you one more. A specialist, this style of person, they have an ability for precise focus. So I might be looking 3 different ways, and they can help, you know, bring me into focus and things I should work on, where I should go, when I should do it. They are just good at specializing in a particular thing. So I think in these 11 types of people, again, they're just types, no names, but I think throughout my life, oh, so-and-so is that type of person. Or in this season of life, I need this type of person because I'm struggling with focus, and they can help me kind of laser in.
Is there one of the types that you would say is the most commonly and most long-term probably needed?
So, you know what? Nobody's ever asked me that question. I would probably say, yeah, and this is almost going to be cliche, but there's a reason for it. In the 11 types, there's one in there, it's called a friend. And you say, well, how is that a big deal? A friend is somebody who can love me and challenge me, but not judge me. And so it's a safe place for me to be real. And I think a lot of times we don't know where those places are. And so the other driver for that is this. When I think about the word joy and thriving, one of the ways to define joy is that somebody else likes to be with me. And I think when you look at that particular person, a friend, that style in the 11, if somebody likes to be with me, it brings this joy. And when joy is brought, it elevates the possibility to thrive.
You know, obviously, some who are listening this morning that probably are at that place, right? They've gotten themselves to a hard place, or maybe they're listening this morning and maybe they're not there, but they might find themselves there. And sometimes the hardest part is really admitting that we've got a problem and admitting it in a way that isn't self-destructive in the sense of shame and, you know, wanting to deny it again because, you know, how did I let myself get here? And I'm a leader. I'm supposed to be a leader. And I'm at this place. So how do we face kind of our state and not beat ourselves up in the midst of it and really own it in a healthy kind of a way?
You have to evaluate where you are. And so whether you're there or not, I think a constant evaluation, because again, we don't drift towards excellence. We drift actually towards what we're talking about, exhaustion and burnout. It doesn't show up overnight. So evaluate where we are. I think accepting where I'm at, which sounds like you're settling and it's not. It's just I'm at where I'm at. But then believing that there is another way, right? Inviting people in your life that can help you go that other way and then doing the hard work that requires you to go a different way. And so, and being realistic about the expectations, it's not going to change by the end of the week, but small changes and accumulation of them over time actually is how it's going to give you the possibility to be a healthier version of you. So evaluate, accept it, invite the right people to help you get through it, right? To move forward. And then just to do the hard work step by step by step.
Yeah. When I think about, again, the role of leaders in ministry leadership, thing I hit all so often because, I mean, you're in ministry. We're in ministry to love on people, impact people, be there for people, invest in people. So much so. So we have this strong pull and desire and sense of expectation of ourselves to be just so available for people. Obviously, that can lead to burnout as well if we don't set boundaries. So you talk about boundaries in the book. And again, I can just picture so many of us in ministry struggling with that. Not conceptually, it makes sense, but yet we feel so obligated to people that we don't set those boundaries. Kind of as we end our time today, I guess I would love to hear just some final thoughts on boundaries and why they're important and how to kind of begin to engage those in our lives and ministries.
Some of you are going to like, oh, Jason, this is such a Sunday school answer. Think about the life of Jesus. He had this ability to be insanely present with people. And he had this insanely amazing way to pull away. But I think that I shouldn't do that because I'm different. And it's the craziest thought. And sometimes I think consciously we're like, well, that does make sense. Why do I do that? But I think it's a driver for different reasons. We don't have time to unpack it at all. But for some, it feeds something inside of them that they need. Maybe there's something that they didn't get. And so to be needed does something. There's an element of control. There's a fear of missing out. There's all these different, you know, reasons. So I think putting boundaries into place, and we define boundary actually a little bit different than the normal way. Typically, I've heard boundaries like kind of putting up this wall, you know, you stay over there and I'll stay over here. And no, I'm not doing that. So it's a little bit kind of hard. In the book, we talk about boundaries, like it's like a gate that could swing either way, because in seasons of life, the boundaries might actually change. And so it just feels different to define it differently. And so establishing healthy relational boundaries may look like time, your calendar, you know, your yeses and your nos, and not feeling guilty about it. Easier said than done. I wish we had more time to unpack this, but I think in order for you to be the best version of you, who the Lord wants you to be, giving yourself permission to establish healthy relational boundaries, because if Jesus needed to pull away, in my humanity, I probably need to do the same and even more so than he did. So I think figuring out, why do I always feel like I need to be available? Is it a system thing? I need to set up a different system. You know, is that the boundary? Is the boundary something inside of me? I'm doing this because I'm feeding something inside of me. You know, is it with a particular person? Is it a timing thing? Because again, you only have so much yes and no. And I also think about our family, like my family and my two kids. Like nobody, no telling how many times I told other people yes and I told them no. Now, will that happen at times? Yes. But it doesn't have to happen a lot of the time. And a lot of times we'll blame that on ministry. Well, guess what? So will your wife and kids. And that's unfair. So it's like, you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. But what do I need to do to make it any different?
So good. Well, brother, I so appreciate the time today. And we'd love to have you back again.
Anytime. Holler at me.
We know your time is valuable, so we're grateful you choose to spend some of it listening to Morning Conversation, the podcast. If God used this content to bless you, we'd love to have you share it with a friend. For more conversations like this, along with some songs of hope and stories of God at work, we invite you to listen to MyBridge Radio. Hear it on the MyBridge Radio app or listen online at mybridgeradio.net.